You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour. On Radio TFI. It is Saturday, January 20th of 2018. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and any other life form that is listening to the Taxi Stand Hour here on Radio TFI. I'm John Shannon from St. Paul, Minnesota, and from the Fort Lauderdale, Florida area, Mr. Ed Van Ness. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, kids and kittens. I'm back. I am at a full fighting 87%.
I was going to say, just talking to you pre-show there, it doesn't sound like you're 100% just yet.
I can see 88%. We're this close.
Yeah.
This has been a big brutal battle this past week or so. I'd like to thank my young friend here, John Shannon, for picking up the slack last week and doing a fine job. And you'll have to excuse my, I've picked up some sniffles this morning. We'll talk about my little dilemma in a little while. John, what's cooking this week, my friend?
Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. We have had an eventful week, and I wish that, I wish I could say it was all taxi related here. Or at least my taxi. I mean, I had an average week. Things were going pretty good this week, I guess. I'm not looking forward to next week here because we are going to get copious dumping of snow Sunday night into Monday morning. And I think this one's actually going to hit its target.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Gives you plenty of time to shovel it before the Super Bowl.
I don't have to shovel shit. I live in an apartment building.
It's just going to disappear because of that fact.
Well, I mean, my biggest issue is I hate driving in snow anymore. And now, and supposedly.
John, you live in Minnesota.
It doesn't mean I like driving in snow anymore.
Okay. Just so we're all clear on that.
It's gotten worse as I've gotten older. I mean, I used to revel in it, you know. You know, I used to be the one when I had a cab with rear-wheel drive and I needed to get to the other side of the street to do a pickup. I was the one that would hit the gas and spin a U-ey to get, you know, whip a bitch. But those days are far behind me here.
And again, you also probably had a chrome bumper so you could bounce off of things, too.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. So, tell me about your last week there, sir.
Oh, my goodness. Well, last week was recovery week. Let's push back 2 weeks ago. All right, let's get the kids and kittens caught up.
Okay.
So whatever this thing that's going around is, your old Uncle Ed caught a good chunk of it. Now, I will say it wasn't the worst I've ever felt. It was not the longest duration of anything I've ever felt. It was, however, the first time I was significantly sick in over 4 years. Draw whatever conclusions you will, it just coincidentally, I hadn't had a real flu or a cold since my heart surgery. I've had a couple of one-day things, but, you know, over and done with. This was 4 solid days of every day something a little bit different. One day the fever, one day the... Now, let me put it to you this way. During that particular week, El Presidente wasn't the only one majorly concerned about a shithole, okay? I learned things that, suffice it to say, Uncle Ed was very happy that he lives right next door to the laundry room.
Oh, my God.
It was a brutal, brutal Brutal, brutal 4 or 5 days. The worst part of it was we had a bunch of our work fall in that day. Some of our best primo work that ever comes in. It comes in sporadically, but a bunch of it fell in that 4 or 5 days, and I couldn't do a lick of it. I'm talking $100 jobs, multiple $100 jobs, and oh boy, I literally didn't eat for 3 days. I had a half a slice of white bread. It was bad. It was just, but we managed to get through it. We got back to work last week, and we're slowly but surely. I've got a persistent cough that just won't seem to go away, and I will be coughing occasionally. John will see me do it, but if I get to the mute button fast enough, you folks won't know that it's happening.
Yeah.
Like right now.
And you're right, because I remember when I was fighting through that last little case of crud I had, especially if you start talking for an extended period of time, all of a sudden your lungs just say, I have had enough of this shit, I'm bailing out. So, yeah, you're doing the right thing there. You're drinking plenty of caffeine to tighten up your airways even more.
There's no caffeine in that.
In Diet Dew?
No caffeine.
BS.
No caffeine.
There is no caffeine in Diet Mountain Dew.
How many more times do I need to say it?
Okay.
My goodness.
I want to see visual proof of that, because that's one of the reasons why Annie drinks the shit.
Well, good. You got a bottle in your refrigerator, and please, with the language, some of us are our ears are still recovering.
My goodness. Oh,
by the way, happy anniversary!
Yes, happy anniversary.
It is the worst year today that the Cheeto in Charge was inaugurated with the biggest collection of viewers ever at an inauguration. Just ask him, he'll tell you.
Exactly.
And to celebrate this milestone event, we've shut down the federal government. So yay.
Mm-hmm.
I feel better.
Yeah, do you? This has literally been the worst year. And I, you know, when I say the worst year, I'm talking about all the news, all the crap that has been disseminated by that man over the last year. I mean, and you know, some people do sensationalize news. I get that. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on here.
We will.
Yes, we will, believe it or not. Yeah. But
one of these days I'll actually know what's coming up on this show, and I will be surprised.
Well, you told me not to send you show notes.
Shh, don't give it away.
I want to be caught by surprise. I want to do this by the seat of my pants.
That is absolutely correct, sir.
And well, there you go.
Moving on.
Yeah. But no, this has been horrible as far as just this man. You know, here's the thing. I think that as far as policy goes, not all policy, as far as policy goes, he may not be the worst president we've had. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some things here that are pretty messed up, but he's probably, you know, if you look through history, there are presidents that have had worse agendas than Donald Trump. But this man cannot, he keeps tripping on his ego, and he can't get anything legitimately accomplished. And here we go. Now the government shut down.
Well, clearly he doesn't know what he wants.
This is true.
Has there ever been a time in this country where one political party is basically got control of all the major branches of the government, all the major seats of power, and still can't accomplish anything? How is that possible? You got the keys to the car.
Yeah, that might be a good thing if you think about it with some of the things that the Republicans, I'm not talking about Trump in general, who I'm still not convinced, you know, that I'm not convinced that Trump is a true Republican.
No,
you can't
not.
Tell. No. But you see,
he's a true Trumpian.
Yeah. You see the Republicans scamper into their wormholes, though, when Trump was starting to talk to Schumer again.
Yeah,
oh, my God. They're worried as all hell. Republicans, listen real carefully here. Donald Trump played you guys like a well-tuned fiddle. He said it many, 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 many years ago that if he were ever to run for president, he would run as a Republican because, and I'm paraphrasing here, they are the most gullible group of individuals known to man. So there you go. Happy anniversary, America. Yeah. We're stuck with them for another 3 years because I like everybody else, would love to see his ass thrown out with impeachment. It's not going to happen. And if he does get impeached, or if he is taken out by Mueller's investigation, you still look what you got behind him. You got Pence. And I'll tell you something. I said this from the beginning, that Pence scares me more than Trump does. Trump's just a useful idiot. Pence, I'm convinced that Pence is more dangerous. Yeah, I think he's more dangerous than Trump. Paul Ryan, staunch conservative, So, I mean, if you went down the line, the only way this is going to work out is if the Democrats get back to having full control of the Senate and the House, and maybe at that point in time we can talk about impeachment or conviction or both of the Trump administration. So
what you're saying is essentially we just have to hold our nose and deal with the stink for however long it takes.
I will say one thing that's kind of a bright sign, if you will, is it doesn't seem like we're the war of rhetoric between Trump and Rocket Man has kind of simmered down a little bit, and that part of it you can thank the South Koreans for. It looks like they've reached out with the olive branch. It looks like they're going to share share a spot in the Olympics. So
I can't say that.
I don't trust him.
You don't trust Kim Jong-un?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, who knows? Every day the week goes by without Trump tweeting about him is a good day, because there was a time I was legitimately scared that that it was going to happen. This country probably hasn't been this close to nuclear war since the days of the Cold War.
How about those folks
in Hawaii?
Oh my God, you feel sorry for them.
Just a wee bit.
Oh my God, that was horrible. A false emergency message coming across that there's an inbound missile aimed at Hawaii.
This is not a drill.
Yeah. Oh my God. That talk about, because not only are the are you knowing that you're going to be struck by a missile, we can only assume a nuclear tipped missile, but people in Hawaii, you got nowhere to go to get away from it in any quick time.
No.
Exactly. If somebody, if it was announced that there was a missile headed towards Minneapolis, well, there are many places that people can scamper, hopefully, to get out of the initial blast area.
You can move that far that fast in 30 minutes or... Remember, they get here in a hurry.
Yeah, oh, I know they do. I think the thing is if there's no way of knowing if something is launched, there's really no way of knowing where it's going to hit.
By the time you're aware that it's in the air, it's already too late.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right.
Because you'll be able to get in your car, presuming you were standing at your front door, or better yet, already in your car with everything you own and your family. Huh. Now you've got to pick a direction out of the blast zone.
Mm-hmm.
And just hope for the best.
Yeah.
How far can you travel in 20 minutes in greater Minneapolis, St. Paul?
Well, the people kind of like...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, the people here, just like you did when you were escaping the hurricane, you know, yeah, there's going to be a majority of them that are going to head for the freeways, but anybody that knows their salt about their area could get at least, like I say, just get at least out of the blast area. Well,
You would hope. But again, this is presuming everything goes well. You're in the car. You've got everything you need in the car when you get the notification. This is not presuming that it comes in right now as you're sitting there and you're living in your dining room. Okay.
Yeah.
That the memory of a cheese burrito not so far away.
Yeah.
And I promise you, you don't have shoes on right now.
No, you're probably right.
Well, am I am or I'm not? You know for sure. I'm probably right.
The world may never know.
The world may never know. It's
I'll leave you guessing at it. How's
there
that?
You go. That's cliffhangers. Mm-hmm. So if somebody wanted to take a guess at whether or not you're actually wearing shoes, how would they do that, John?
Well, they would call this particular number. That would be 754-800-CHAT. 754-800-CHAT.
Cool. It's an 800 number.
Yeah, right. It's an 800 number.
It's not an 800 number?
No, it's not an 800 number.
But it says 800.
Oh, well. Never mind. Okay. I'm going to be nice.
Area code 754-800.
Chat. Or 2428 if you're
That's what I was
phonetically challenged. You realize I did that from memory?
I am duly impressed. I am duly. I won't expect it again, but.
You should be. Oh, I hope that coughing fit was.
That was a good one, kids. That was a good one. just be glad. None of you, including John, has to listen to that today. Only myself. So.
Oh my. Well, I tell you what. Now you're coughing and I can't talk. There's something that's been kind of on my radar this week that has been really bothering the hell out of me.
Is it the fact you don't have shoes?
That's probably it.
There you go. We solved that one. Next.
Yeah, there you go. And I hadn't realized this, that there is an issue right now, partially thanks to the Cheeto in charge, of refugees who are here from mostly African countries. There are some here from the Middle East that are now trying to escape America and head for Canada. Now, I didn't realize this. There's over 1,000 people who have made this journey into Canada, seeking asylum there. Kind of like the promise that America once made about taking care of the huddled masses. Well, that doesn't happen in America anymore. So now they're going to go to Canada. Well, apparently in some places in this country, there are cab drivers who are bringing these people to the border and are overcharging them to bring them up there. Now, there's a story in particular that I want to bring to you here. This is out of Grand Forks, North Dakota, and a situation that originated here in Minnesota. And I got some stuff I want to talk about after playing this. And just a second before I do, because I am going to do that and this.
It's a ride that could cost someone their life, as caseworkers say cab companies are sending refugees into the cold and pocketing the cash. WDAZ's Kenneth Chase explains why local leaders say they're hoping law enforcement will step in.
Stacy, listen to that wind howl. It's in conditions like these, with rough wind and sub-zero temperatures, that refugees are crossing on foot into Canada.
This is Kongi Kwevi, a refugee from Africa. Facing what his caseworker calls certain death in his country, he fled and made his way to Minneapolis about 10 days ago. Not familiar with the climate? Once he found out he was set to be deported, he chose a different path.
The wind was very strong. He said it felt like the wind was trying to kill him.
He called a taxi driver to take him from Minneapolis to the Pembina border crossing and walked through a nearby farm field until the negative 40-degree wind chill forced him to call for help.
The fellow who drove him from Minneapolis and dropped him at the border stripped him of $700 for that service, didn't warn him about the cold.
And he's not alone. Despite these brutal temperatures, there are a rush of refugees along the Pembina border. About 1,000 asylum seekers have crossed into Manitoba last year, and not all of them came out alive. People living on the U.S. side say something should be done about the cab companies.
Probably beneficial if there could be some type of a law put in place that these taxi drivers would be held accountable. But like anything else, if they put a stop to that, more than likely there's going to be another avenue found.
But the Pembina County Sheriff's Office says they can't arrest drivers for dropping people off. It's unclear if the feds can go after taxi drivers. Attempts to contact Customs and Border Protection were not successful. For WDAZ News, I'm Kenneth Chase.
All right. Okay, first of all, I want to, I got to address this on several fronts. First of all, yes, it is a problem. It is a huge problem. We've got thousands of people that are crossing into Canada. As the report said, over a thousand alone have been crossing into Manitoba from the U.S. What I'm irritated about with this particular story is it seems to be a bigger problem. The fact that they're talking about cabbies that are doing this, because I'm a cabbie. Now you're pointing a finger at my profession. Now, if any cab driver out of my area, from my company, is gouging individuals, yeah, I'd want to know about it. But let me fill you in on a little secret here, ladies and gentlemen. As it was put by the young lady who I spoke to, Karen Jordan. I actually spoke to her for a little while. First off, if the driver would have charged this passenger full meter rate, $250 a mile, that individual would be paying $950 as opposed to the $700 that is claimed in this story. And secondly, why is this suddenly all about cab drivers? You know, do we have proof that it was actual taxi drivers that are doing that? I mean, it could be like people that are coming to the United States from Mexico, coyotes as they're called. You know, are they taxi drivers? No. I guarantee you that not every refugee made it to the Canadian border via taxi. And if they did, I guarantee you again that not all of them were overcharged in doing so. Now, I feel bad for those people that are trying to get to that part of Canada. I actually, to tell you the truth, I was going to pick up a vehicle for my boss, about a year, not quite a year ago. And so I was going to go to Winnipeg. I was trying to figure out all the ways to go there that would not involve me making that drive. I looked into Greyhound. Well, Greyhound only goes as far as Grand Forks, which for those who are not familiar is the furthest north major city. I shouldn't call it a major city, but it's as close as to the border as you can get via Greyhound, and I still think at that point in time you are over you are over 100 miles away. As far as the issue of bringing them at the border and dropping them, you forget there's one big problem here. Once you cross into Canada, you cannot just say, okay, well, I'm going to bring you to Winnipeg or bring you someplace where you can be safe in Canada. And just turn around and go back into the United States. Why? Because you need a passport to get back into the United States. I'm lucky enough. I have a passport. I would argue that there are probably at least a few cab drivers out there that don't have a passport or are afraid to make that journey back into the States because they would be detained because for whatever reason their paperwork might not be where it needs to be. There are a lot of reasons. And I think to make this story that they made bastardizing cab drivers for this, like I'm not trying to sit here and polish a halo. There are some unscrupulous drivers out there. There was a story out of I forgot exactly where it came from, but apparently they were charging them $1,000 to take them from New York City up to the Canadian border. Well, you know, that is gouging because it would only be basically the rate that they would be charging them for that journey would be, they're running it at about $3.20 a mile, where in New York City, the standing rate for cab fare is $2 a mile. So, and Ed must be having a coughing fit someplace here. But, no, you okay right there, buddy? Oh, you're okay.
I'm wrapped with attention.
Okay, you look. I thought I saw your eyes close.
It's very interesting. Here's one of the things that I'd like to know. So, these refugees, they make a decision that they want to go up to Canada, okay, and up to the Canadian border. They are aware that it's flipping January in Minnesota, right? Also January in Canada. They're aware of this. They're aware that it's a wee bit cold. I'm presuming.
Well, it said in the story that they weren't, that they didn't know exactly just how bad it would be. You know, you can walk around in Minnesota. You can walk around if you keep your hands in your pockets and that when it gets a little chilly here. But they're talking about wind chills up there, you know. Negative 40.
All right, but we're still aware of the fact that it's winter.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right, so we got that going for us. I also don't firmly believe that these refugees are just willy-nilly and, you know, by the dozen flagging down cabs in the greater Minneapolis-St. Paul area or pick your metropolitan area and saying, take me to Canada. And look, I've got money in my pocket. To just get to the quote unquote border, this is not a Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoon where you show up and there's a painted dotted line on the ground. Yeah, it's just not that simple. So, and let's face it, even the most douchiest of cab drivers is going to have some second thought about leaving you in the middle of sub-zero temperatures with no money. I mean, that would be, you deserve all the levels of hell available at that point. So I think there's a whole lot more to that story than that's being led on. And let's face it, who's to say there aren't people, hey, give me $500, I'll drive you up myself to the border. Doesn't necessarily have to be a taxi. Taxis are just an easy mark. Good Lord, yes. How many Uber cars have been doing it?
Yeah. That's what I wanted to know. When I spoke to this Karen Jordan, who was nice enough. She was the only one that was nice enough to talk to me because I reached out to the reporter on this story.
I'm nice enough to talk to you.
Well, you know, that's just it. But, but anyway, no, I talked to her and, you know, she went right to the fact that, these cab drivers were gouging these individuals. Let me once again repeat myself. Yes, this refugee, I even forgot his name already.
It's called Bob.
Yeah, call him Bob. But
Paul?
No, you know what?
Don't hurt yourself now.
I'm not going to try. You know, the only thing that I deducted from listening to the story was his first name sounded like a performer. But now I'm just it's old age.
Noggin you got there, sir.
I know. But anyways, no, he was charged $700. Again, that if he would have taken a taxi and paid meter rate, actually, you know, I got to thinking about it. The rate that I have is $250 a mile. In Minneapolis, it can go as high as $275 a mile. So
that is something, let's face it, if that happens, it's going to wind up being a flat rate. Oh, I've only got $600. I've only got $700.
Yeah, it's up
most
to the
guys
driver.
Are going to take the cash because it's not only is it a good ride, but it's a story.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally believe, I don't believe that it's not happening. I just think there's a whole lot more to it. And unfortunately, what happens with a lot of reporters, and this is no knock on any individual reporter, but their sources are limited, and they as often as not will take for gospel word whatever is told to them. I mean, you don't have to travel very far in these United States to find local TV reporters. Let's face it, they're in small markets. They're just getting their start. I give you one of the things that drives me batty here on a regular basis here in South Florida. You will watch a story, and they will report on something that happened at, let's say, A Street, at the intersection of A Street and D Street. Well, A Street and D Street don't intersect. They're both streets. And you know, and they just continually, it's just these geographic, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody bothered to do the simplest of checks, which is to turn around and look at the intersection sign.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's these kind of little details. Somebody throws the number $700 out at them. Maybe it's accurate, maybe it's not. Who's to know? So I think, again, I think there's a lot more to that than, and it also may not be as prevalent. I really, really don't see swarms of people flagging down cabs to make their escape from this country. There are definitely other less expensive ways to do that.
You can, but are there though?
Are there? Okay. So you're in downtown St. Paul. You're from the country of Widget, okay? And there's a big Widget community in St. Paul. You know the Widgets. They've been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
So you get together with four of your Widget buddies, and we decide we're all going to Canada because it's a better life there. It's warmer, they say, eh? The temperatures are lower. So you find a guy. You each pony up $250. And you find a guy with a minivan. Can you drive us to Canada for $1,000? There you go. There's one way. And I'm not terribly bright, and I thought of that. I'm not of Widget descent. I wish I was. There are fine, fine, upstanding people, the Widgets.
But my point is that $700 to take somebody from Minneapolis to the Canadian border is less than a metered rate, like you said.
Oh, my God, because a taxi driver has never done anything for less than the meter rate. Shocking.
Oh, yeah. Well, but they're calling that gouging.
Because they don't have the proper facts, John. That's my point. They don't have the right facts.
you know, he was stripped of $700.
He was not.
Well, that, but that's what I'm saying. That's what this woman said. That's
it's a what better this read.
Era, yeah.
I will bring up the point of the promo we just did. Okay? This is the perfect example. If I can find my mouse, which I can't. Now, kids and kittens, I'm about to play something for you. We were going to debut this a little later, but so this is the new promo that we've done for John, for the Shannon Files. Now, what we've done here is we've overproduced something to get along, to get out the same message. Essentially, I could have just said, John's going to be on the radio every Sunday at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you can, you know, but it's, the reporters could have just said, well, they charged him $700, but they have to make it sound better. They need a hook. Here, let's play this because I am quite proud of it. Stand by. Radio TFI. It seemed like a nice neighborhood to have bad habits in. The door to the studio sat ajar. The corridor had a smell of old carpet and furniture oil and the drab anonymity of a thousand shabby lives. In this place, every hour crawled by like a sick cockroach, except one. Sunday, 10 a.m., Eastern, live. John Shannon has all the tools he needs. A microphone and an opinion. The Shannon Files. Open, but are you ready?
There. And like I said, very well done, Ed.
Thank you. But the point is, my point is that I could have just as easily said, John Shannon, Sundays, 10 o'clock, radiotfi.com,
mm-hmm.
and done with it. But you need to dress it up a little bit, and that's what these reporters are doing. They need to be noticed. As much as getting the information across, okay, they don't want to be the star reporter in Grand Forks, North Dakota anymore, Nebraska, whatever the hell it is. They want to move up to those bigger markets of Dubuque and Des Moines.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I should paint a picture here if I didn't tell you before I played that, but you probably could tell, you could probably ascertain this by listening, is that he, when he did this report, was standing out in
got barren, the second field.
Yeah, with the wind blowing, and yeah, he definitely added the dramatics to it.
The dramatics, absolutely. It's to catch your attention. It could just as easily sit in a barren studio reading from a script.
Yeah. But
this is the same reason every time there's a hurricane, what do these knuckleheads do? They go stand out. I am annoyed with it at this point. We get it. It's strong winds. Okay? We get it. Go inside before you hurt yourself. Those of us that are involved in the hurricane as it's happening, we can look out our window and see how strong the wind is blowing. The rest of the people, don't care. They can go to the movies and see better special effects.
Mm.
So
yeah, you know, it's that kind of stuff isn't going to stop until live on TV. You're going to see a piece of debris fall down on one of these. Yeah, exactly. You're not gonna. It won't stop. You're absolutely right there.
Well, that was a fine piece, John. That was. I know it's been under your skin there for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. I was, you know, I told this Karen Jordan this. I said, listen, we have enough problems with Uber and Lyft coming into our market and trying to bastardize cab drivers. We have, you know, the reputation that this industry has, some of it earned, but a lot of cab drivers are just hardworking stiffs that like that line of work. And we have a hard enough time fighting this bad reputation without people making shit up, mm-hmm. or fluffing the piece up a little bit, if you will. And of course, you know, I don't know how how these two individuals, Karen Jordan and Ken Chase, how they hooked up. I don't know how it happened, but it happened, and I think that it was an embellished story.
I agree, without question.
Let's look at the bigger problem. why are all these people all of a sudden having to decide that they need to leave the United States, supposedly
in the dead of winter?
In the dead of winter. Why? I know why. Because we now have an administration who has put a bullseye on any person, any dark person, brown person or black person, who who's trying to make better for themselves in this country. And like I said, the whole welcome the huddled masses, it's no longer the case here in the United States. And that's probably the bigger problem. And I honestly think that these reporters should be looking at this bigger problem.
I couldn't agree more. All right. So, can we put a pin in that for the moment?
We can put a pin in that.
All right. I have something I'd like to talk about.
Okay.
This past week, much to my chagrin, I lost my computer. We thought it was just the corrupted hard drive. Well, it turns out the hard drive physically went kaputsky. So, by the way, the computer I'm talking about has all of my data, all of my files, all of my everything involving this venture. Fortunately, I had saved some of the files and put them on the computer I'm using now. I have a laptop. So I'm sitting with a big hunk of a screen behind me. My all-in-one. I have to try to get the data off the hard drive. I'm told it can be done. We shall see. So, it's been a fun couple of weeks for your old Uncle Ed here.
And, now I won't tell you what generally corrupts hard drives.
No, it's a physical corruption. Not what you're thinking.
Oh, would I ever insinuate that, sir?
You just did. Come out and say you think I've got the nastiest porn in the world, and it digs right into the hard drive.
Yeah,
you're wrong.
It's like taking a nail and scratching a record.
Moving on.
Isn't it about that time that
definitely about that time. And my God, if I can find what it is I'm looking for. Oh my God!
Well, while you're looking, let me share this with you.
There, do you hear that?
I hear that.
I'm going to lower it down a bit. What time is it, John?
It is time for Ed versus the Spread.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Your weekly foray into the world of NFL gambling. We bet versus the spread. We pick our games. We don't bet real money, but real lives are on the line. John, would you like to know how we did recently?
Let's hold on just before you do that.
Would you like to know how we did recently?
Oh, okay, fine. You're going to gloat here, so.
Okay. So, last week, John went 2-2. I went 1-3. We are currently at 36-33. We're tied. All right. Now, again, I have lost all my data for this endeavor. All I have left is one piece of paper sitting in front of me. So I don't want to hear about your skull and your Vikings and your... it was a miraculous catch, I have to admit. It was something. It must have been fantastic to be a Vikings fan in that moment.
Well, but you got to... I'm sorry. You got to hear this because this is... This is great. Just the differences here.
Vikings at their own 39. It's third down. Three receivers right, Thielen left. Marshawn Lattimore, 12 yards from Adam. Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay up! Oh my God! Oh my God! 30!
10! Touchdown! I imagine that's the Vikings radio broadcast.
Now
let's hear the Vikings broadcast.
No, that
I
wasn't
mean the Saints broadcast.
Yeah, here you go.
3rd and 10 from the Viking 39. Precious seconds left on the clock. The Vikings need a completion and an apparent field goal attempt. Here's Keenum. Dropping, looking, throwing near sideline, and it's caught by Stephon Diggs. He's going to take it inside the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown on the final play of this game. Are you kidding me?
Oh, well, you can just hear him in the background. Are you kidding me?
Okay, so let's big congrats to the Purple People Eaters. They pulled it out at the very end. And I got to tell you, that game, I had New Orleans getting 3.5. It was only 3.5 points. And that was looking good the whole game. It looked, once New Orleans made their little comeback, it was a very good game, excellent game, especially the second half. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, I got this in the bag. It doesn't matter. Go ahead. Beat each other by 2 points. I don't care. I win either way. I win. The only thing I didn't need at the end of the game was a touchdown.
Touchdown, so, Stephon Diggs.
So congratulations to the Minnesota Vikings. They are one step away from being the first team to host a Super Bowl. All they have to do is beat the Eagles tomorrow.
You know what the most ironic thing about that is if the Vikings do go on to the Super Bowl at U.S. Bank Stadium,
they'll be the road team.
They'll be the road team.
Yeah, that's I'm sure they'll be able to figure something out around that.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes. So
now we're down to a precious few games now, and it has come down to this, kids and kittens. John and I are tied right now, and there are 3 games left. There are the conference championships tomorrow, and then the big one in 3 weeks. So these are very, very important games. Now, we have... The first game is Philadelphia is actually getting 3 points. Is actually getting 3 points at home. Mm-hmm. Minnesota is the favorite. Now, I took a big leap of faith here, and I'm presuming, John, you're going to take them there, Vikings.
I struggled with this one. I'm not going to lie. I struggled with this one. But in the end, I got to go with the Vikings.
So I'm going to take Philadelphia on that one. And the 3 points.
Okay.
Now it leaves us with New England -7.5 versus Jacksonville. Now I already think I know which way you want to go. I'm going to take Jacksonville and get 7.5 points.
Hate to tell you this, sir. That was where I was going to.
Is it? Okay.
Yes.
So is that your pick?
That is my pick.
All right. So then that game's a push.
Now let me add a little bit of caveat to that and see if you want to change your mind at all. Actually, this wouldn't really affect your decision. There, Tom Brady is questionable for that game. Apparently, he's got a thumb injury on his throwing hand.
You could slice that thumb off. He's not going to be questionable for that game.
Okay.
No. All right, so you and I are both taking Jacksonville and getting 7.5 points. So that game's a push.
Mm-hmm.
So now it comes down to the Philadelphia-Minnesota game. That's what the entire week rests on, is Philly, Minnesota. So how about them Eagles?
The thing is that and I don't want to go into too much analysis because they don't pay me to do that kind of shit. You don't pay me to do that kind of shit. But I am. I'm looking at myself talk. I'm watching my mouth. The division that the Eagles played in, NFC East, was probably the weakest division of all.
So in other words, you mean the NFC least?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that Philadelphia had a pretty easy road into the playoffs, making that number one. Now, let's face it, there are things that could go against the Vikings in that game. First off, it's a road game. It's a very hostile territory. Fortunately, the weather is going to be a factor. I understand it's going to be like 50 some degrees there. And,
oh, it's horrible.
And comfortable for Philadelphia standards.
It's going to be comfortable for the Vikings as well. Remember, they both play in the same weather.
Well, but you keep forgetting, U.S. Bank Stadium is a dome. It's that's neutral.
Pansies.
Yeah, well.
You don't see my Dolphins playing indoors now, do you?
Yeah, well. I don't see your Dolphins playing, period. But that's...
Moving on. Nobody likes a wise guy. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that will conclude Ed versus the Spread for this week. And remember, if you're basing any of your gambling picks and your lifestyle choices on anything we say, you got issues, pal.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
And exactly. That takes care of that for this week.
Oh, how about some Uber news?
Hey, how about this? Travis Kalanick's going to get a $1.4 billion.
The SoftBank deal finally went through.
More or less.
Yeah, exactly.
So he gets to walk away with a tub of dough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here trying to figure out how I'm gonna eat next week, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Remember, Uber did not invent a better mousetrap. They just poisoned all the other cats.
Well, there you go. And unfortunately, that's exactly what they needed to do. They knew what they needed.
I came up with that yesterday, and I'm really, really enjoying that.
I did. I chuckled a little bit even yesterday.
That's very good on my part.
Yes. Very well. Very well done, sir.
I'm taking full credit for it. And, I've had a rough week, and I need an attaboy.
You needed attaboy. Attaboy. By the way, tell me, you shared with me yesterday the situation that you had on one of your particular rides.
You mean my first ride?
Yeah, your first ride.
So I came out of the house. I had a regular customer I had to pick up at the airport, and I had about, an hour and change to get down there. So I decided, let me use the Uber destination filter. And I pointed myself towards Fort Lauderdale Airport. And at this point, I'll take whatever rides will take me that way. Pick up a couple of shekels here and there. Sometimes you get lucky, you get a ride going straight to the airport. Sometimes it takes three or four rides. Okay. So I get one about a block from the house, and it's an Uberpool ride. Now, I normally never take Uberpool, ever. But, okay, it's going in my direction. I got nothing to lose at this point. It's gas money. I go over. It's a bad address. Well, they come out of a different house. All right. On Uberpool, you're allowed to choose one or two riders, and it shows the driver. You're picking up one or two people. Well, in this particular case, three people came out, and I tried to explain to them, well, you chose Uberpool, and you can't do three people. Oh, you got an effing attitude. Really? It quickly progressed downward to, well, you know, I make more money than you do. Really? You're taking Uberpool, man. What? And again, this was the first job of the day. I was like, okay, you know. I got to tell you, it didn't get any better after that, except for my own people. It was, yes.
What a classist son of a bitch, though. Jesus, man.
It was reported this week that Travis Kalanick, thanks to the sale of shares to SoftBank, will walk away with the reported $1.4 billion. Now, if you recall, there was a video that came out about a year or so ago of him in the back of an Uber car, and he basically cursed out the driver.
I remember that.
Okay. Well, apparently he had a meeting with that driver and paid off the guy's cars or, you know, out of his own pocket, which is nice. But what about the other millions of other people whose lives you adversely affected?
Oh, you know, absolutely.
You know, so look, I always saw this coming. I always knew he was going to walk away with a ton of dough. There was no question about it. The top of the pack was always going to do fine. There was no question. And now this is beginning. So, you know, he's got his. Nobody will ever be able to tell him any different that, you know, it doesn't matter. He's got his money. So.
Yeah. Well, hopefully maybe Uber can collapse in peace now.
Halloween.
Huh? Well, it's fast approaching, man.
Oh, yeah. Halloween.
Yeah.
You can. All right. In the 5 or 6 minutes we got left, what else you got going
on? Real quick here. Going over to across the pond, a couple of things.
Oh, yeah. They're kicking ass over there.
Oh. Did you see that picture of all those cabs that were piled up over there?
That was one of about three or four different demonstrations this week over in London. They did about three or four of them. I watched Sean Paul Day on Periscope one day during the week, and he was at one of them. And it is just spectacular. We should all be mortifyingly embarrassed at how inept we are as a group to not be able to put together what those guys put together. They are defending their livelihood, and they are defending it, I mean, with all the vim and vigor they can. Oh, and by the way, it was a beautiful week. You know what made it a beautiful week this week?
What's that?
Another Uber car on a set of staircases, on a stairs. And I can't get enough of those pictures. And this was video, too.
I wonder what they use over there. They can't be using Google Maps.
Well, it doesn't matter. You're driving down a private a walkway, and there are stairs in front. How do you not see stairs?
I don't know. Maybe he thought he was just going down a hill.
I suppose. Now, how do you explain the guys going up the stairs?
Well, listen, I don't have a lot to explain to when it comes to Uber drivers to begin with. But
yeah, but you know that's one of my faves.
Oh yeah. maybe they thought their little Prius or whatever the hell they're driving over there could make that climb.
It's always a Prius. It's always a Prius. But go ahead, you were gonna talk about the guys in London.
Well, that's was exactly what I was going for, was the protests. And London Taxi Radio tweeted out, big up on cabbies who showed grit and stamina this week by attending the driver-led protests called by the ITA. I got to say that was great. I mean, those cabs were so packed tight in that one, the mm-hmm. one picture I saw. I don't know how the hell they got out of it when it was time to break it up.
They did London Bridge. They did an intersection called Elephant and Castle, and one or two others. But they definitely made their presence known this week. And let's face it, TFL, if you're following that at all, TFL is clearly the most corrupt and alternately inept group of people to ever walk the face of this earth. Because, again, it begs the question, if you've deemed Uber fit and improper, and they violated this, and they lied about that, and they did this, how are you still allowing them to operate? You mm-hmm. took their license away. You take my driver's license away, I cannot drive. This is really basic stuff. And yeah. There's going to be a taunt. It's going to come down hard over there. It is going to come down hard. And again, there's Travis Kalanick waltzing away with his $1.4 billion. You think he's going to care that his people, his Uber employees that put out, you know, start all the shenanigans? He don't care. They're all going to pay the price.
Of course not. Supposedly now also in Manchester, the mayor there is talking about banning Uber, and there is a ton of skeptics about that. I mean, because all they got to do is look at what's going on in London,
right,
with TFL. They're just saying, yeah, right. What it basically is they're saying that this this mayor, whose name I did not have, but supposedly he's just trying to showboat a little bit. He likes his name out there in the news. So, sure. But and why again? Cab drivers, you know, and I'm sorry, you and I have done this business, this job for years. We actually care about the industry, you know. And probably right now in this day and age, is probably the most vulnerable and susceptible. I can't forget that word, but anyways, thank you.
You're welcome.
But how would you talk about job security? You know, people. People who drive, there is no job security anymore in the taxi industry unless, I thank Gilchrist every day that I have a company who has divested themselves into other forms of transportation.
Remember, yeah. Gilchrist loves it.
Well, and I appreciate it. I do appreciate that. Here, I don't normally get that deep into something, and took about a half an hour, took a half an hour of the show with. So I appreciate you listening. I appreciate your patience there, Ed, as much as you could muster.
What?
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Is it that time now? Should I say goodbye?
Say goodbye, Dick.
Goodbye, Dick. Adios.
See ya.